The Gwaltney Group.
The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning. Andy Brownell on News Talk 1340 KROC AM 96.9 FM with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
You've had, I imagine you've had a very somber week as a resident of Wabasha, the Wabasha area.
I will say our community is so amazing. I mean, I can't even tell you how many people attended those visitations and those funerals, but just to give you an idea, I'd say the Catholic Church, when it's packed full, probably holds 300, maybe a little more. And then they have a great big auditorium next door where they usually set it up for tables and stuff for the luncheons afterward, etc. That was just rows of chairs with another couple hundred, maybe 300, I don't know, full of chairs. Plus they had their bleachers pulled out. Plus they set up a big tent outside with rows and rows of chairs.
Oh my goodness.
And that's where the seating was. I don't know, maybe there were 1,800 or 2,000 people at the funeral in a town of 2,500 people. I mean, I can't even put it in words. I will say this. One of the girls that I was in line with said, "My God, I have never experienced anything like this." I mean, our community just came together all week. You know, the day after the bodies were recovered, there was a prayer vigil for a few hours, and then everybody greeted each other in the streets. And then there were, you know, days of the families preparing all their plans and whatever. And then the visitation started on Sunday with one for Ashley. I think it took us 2.5 or 3 hours just to get inside the funeral home. And it was hot as blazes out. Everybody was waiting out in lines. Just to show how much they cared, nobody said, "Oh, forget this, I'm going home." They just waited it out. And then came Monday, and that one was for both of the guys, and that one was at the Catholic Church. You had to walk over to the auditorium, be seated in a section, and then there were volunteers taking groups of people in through the receiving line at the church for both families. And I think that one took about 4 or 4.5 hours. And then the next day was the funeral for the two guys, and that was the one where they set up all the extra stuff. And then the next day was Ashley's, and again, the auditorium was being used. I mean, it was such an outpouring of love and support that, as sad and horrible as the week was, it was equally beautiful, okay? And when one gal said to me, "I have never experienced anything like this," and I thought to myself, well, most people haven't. But I actually did. I've had, you know how you get a feeling and then you remember having that feeling? Well, it's the same feeling I had. We visited New York City 1 month after 9/11. And that same feeling of coming together and supporting each other and camaraderie, there was still a long, long, long line that circled around that little church where everybody was still putting flowers a month later, still hanging teddy bears a month later. I mean, it was that sort of solidarity. And I remember I said, I actually have felt this before. This is how I felt when I visited New York City a month after, you know, in October, the year of 9/11. And she said, "Oh my gosh." And I said, "It's just like for this moment, nobody cares who you voted for. Nobody cares which church you go to. Nobody cares if you go to church at all. What people care right now is that we're all humans who care about each other." So I hope that, and I have zero doubt that our family, our community will continue to support these families, but I hope everyone will keep these families in their prayers, because it's a lot of healing to go through. And those 14 kids that were affected by these three lives lost is just heart-wrenching. So wow. proud to be a part of such an amazing community.
It's one thing about the human condition, the irony that it takes something horrible to remind us that we are together.
Yeah, but I feel like our I mean, I always thought our town was great. I mean, I have always thought that, which is why I have two lives, my Rochester life and my Wabasha life, because I can't let go. I love Rochester and I love being a very active part of the community here and, you know, serving on a lot of the nonprofit boards and doing a lot for this community because I love this community. And I worked at Mayo Clinic for 20 years and most of my real estate clientele is here in Rochester. You know, even though I have plenty in Wabasha and my team members have plenty in Wabasha, I mean, this is still where I consider my place of work. But Wabasha will just always, even when I have a home here, Wabasha is always my home base. You know, it's just where I was born and raised.
You're blessed to have that because they're so close together, too.
Yes, yes. So I can have both at the same time. I don't have to pick, which is great. And more houses to sell, more people I know, all of the things. It's all good. But what I was saying is I feel like we always were a community that was very supportive of one another. But yes, it always happens when something bad happens that people come together and you're reminded of just how much everybody cares about each other.
That's a good way to put it, reminded.
I
think we all need to do a better job of being mindful of that.
Yes, yes,
at times
yes,
when it's not a tragic time. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And so now we've shifted gears because now we're in riverboat days. So now what I'm noticing is even last night, you see somebody that you haven't seen in a while, and it's not just like, hey, how are you? It's just an embrace, a hug. There's so much hugging going on.
Wow. And all while this is all going on, you're still the busy Robin Gwaltney that we all know.
Oh my goodness. During those, I mean, and then we had another sister of a classmate die. So her funeral was on Thursday. So we literally had four funerals last week. Oof. And in between that, I had 10 listing appointments. So I was going from work to grieve to work to grieve. I mean,
oh my gosh.
But I made them all. I was able to attend all of it. And I'm so glad. So very glad.
And obviously, from what you said, business is still brisk if you had 10 listings this week.
10 listing appointments. So I have, and I've already heard back from at least 50% of them that they are going with me. I think I've got a couple of them underway. Thanks to Tina. She's so good at what she does behind the scenes. I'm sometimes, oh, we've got the pictures taken there already. Great. But yeah, so we do continue to be busy. And I know we're still hearing that, oh, things are taking longer. That is true. I think the last time I looked at the statistics, the average days on market was more like 43 or 46 instead of 21. So it's doubled. It's still not bad. Not bad at all, especially since I consider, you know, I remember very clearly 2009 and 2010 when it's like, okay, I'll list for a year. And if I don't have it sold in that year, yeah, we can revisit, you know. So it's still a very, very, you know, good market, very good market.
Well, it used to be 120 days was normal.
Correct, correct. That's exactly right. So, you know, we're seeing the interest rates pushed back up. They leaped back up on Thursday to 6.85, according to Mortgage News Daily. And I think that they are predicting that they'll get back up to 7%. But, I mean, they were there earlier this summer. They came back down. We just got to figure out, well, not as if we have anything to say about it, but those who have control need to figure out this whole Middle East thing and this war situation and get this whole oil price thing, because the surging oil prices then, you know, makes it so that the T-bonds push the mortgage rate, and
yep,
that's how it works.
And right now there's so much uncertainty because nobody knows what happens next.
Exactly.
And it could just shift in a heartbeat.
And I expect that, but maybe it's because I'm such a doggone optimist, but that is what I expect is going to happen.
And you point out when they report those national averages.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're actually going to pay that rate. If you get connected and your circumstances are, I don't know, better, perhaps,
yeah,
you can work with a lender and end up with a significantly lower rate.
Absolutely. I just had somebody close, maybe was it last week, and their rate on a jumbo loan, because it was a very expensive home, was 5.75.
Wow.
And the rates haven't been down to 5.75. They've been in the sixes. So based on their, ability to repay the loan, their excellent credit, there's loan programs out there, to your point. So don't be afraid. It doesn't mean that everybody who's applying for a mortgage is going to be paying 7%, period. And who knows? It's not at 7 yet. And maybe, like you say, something will happen and it'll abruptly go the other direction.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that we've learned is the world is unpredictable. All right. Robin, we'll take a break. Back in just a moment with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results on News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 to Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, Andy Brownell, with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results on News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM. You know, Robin, you mentioned you had 10 listing appointments last week.
Yeah.
What goes on during a listing appointment?
Okay. So typically people are interested in three things. They're typically interested in, what do I need to do to get this house sold? Well, actually four things. How much will I be able to sell it for? How quickly is it going to sell, or how long is it going to take to sell it? They just want to know what the timeline is. And this is where it's so important to just be realistic and use data and not guesses, right? And then lastly, but definitely not leastly, they want to know what the costs will be that will be associated with selling the house. So what's it going to cost me? How long is it going to take? What do I got to do to get it ready? And how much am I going to get for it? That's pretty much the base for every single listing appointment. You know, some people will have a notebook and they'll say, let's walk from room to room and tell me what I have to do in each one of these rooms. While other will say, I got this. I know how to make my house look good. I just want to know, let's talk through timing. If I'm going to be checking in at the Charter House October 1st, what day should we be putting this house on the market based on what you're seeing in the market and how long it's going to take to sell? That kind of thing.
It's a lot to cover.
It's basically, and it's different at every single listing appointment, because basically what we're doing is we're creating a plan of action, a roadmap to get from where we are and where we're going, and what that looks like along the way. And I feel like the reason I am so very successful is because I do a good job of using data to show people why their house is worth what I feel it's worth, and why I feel like it's going to take as long to sell as I feel like it's going to take, and why I charge what I charge and what I do for that money. I feel like I have I feel like I do a good job at my listing presentations, and maybe because I've done it thousands of times over the course of 26 years, maybe I'm a lot better at it now than I was in the beginning. Who knows?
And one thing, doing this program with you for these years, that I've learned, because I had a misconception too about what realtors do, right?
Okay.
And I'll be honest. You show the house, you put the for sale sign up, but I have learned, especially with Gwaltney Group, you guys take out a heck of a lot more than that.
Oh, and my gosh.
It's amazing sometimes the stories you've told me about the length that your team has gone to make it a smooth process, or help somebody who's found themselves in a difficult situation during the process.
Thank you for saying that. I was talking to Elizabeth on the phone the other day, and she was telling me, oh yeah, we're working hard at the house. Matt's getting the weeds trimmed and the lawn mowed, and I'm getting it spotlessly clean. I'm like, for what? And she said, to get it ready for sale. I go, you guys are selling your house? She goes, not our house, my new listing. So her husband's over there cutting weeds, mowing lawn. She's over there scrubbing and cleaning. So yeah, I'm going to promise you, not every single real estate team does this, And I get a big kick out of these agents, and I'm not slamming anybody right now. So the last thing I'm going to do is talk bad about any of my colleagues, but there are certain agents that in their marketing, they'll talk about, with a team, you'll get anybody, but with me, you'll get me. And I just laugh because I'm like, with the team, we've got power in numbers. We work together. We pull together. The answer is never no. If you need to see a house and I'm not available, one of my team members is there to back me up. So I have a different opinion about whether it's bad or good to have a team. And I think it's amazing to have a team, and especially a team that does work together so well and does care so much. And, you know, I have heard people like, oh my gosh, one of my listings, the people are out of town and the final walkthrough is tomorrow and the lawn looks terrible. Is there anybody that can run over there and mow it? And I'll see Michael, I can do it. I'll see Brett, I can do it. I'll see Matt, I can do it. And it just warms my heart. Like the way we pull together and help each other is cool. And we're doing it all for the sake of course, our clients.
And the team concept too comes to mind after meeting that so many members of your team, that they have their little areas of expertise.
Exactly.
So it's more than just, you know, it's a collective mind, let's say.
Thank you. You know, I feel like, you know, after working at Mayo for 20 years before getting into real estate, it's the way they do it there, right? Everything is a team. You don't ever go to Mayo and see one doctor. I mean, you see, maybe it's the med students, maybe it's the resident, maybe it's the chief resident before you see the consultant, right? We all, like, there's layers of it. And then those people all step outside the room. They all talk about what they think, what their thoughts are, and they come back in and they deliver it. We've all experienced that. And it's amazing.
Collaboration. In that case, it saves lives.
Yeah, maybe not in real estate, but it does make transactions a lot less stressful. Well, I will say that.
Well, I imagine, I mean, because if a circumstance comes up and, so-and-so had to deal with something like this 2 years back, you can immediately tap into that knowledge.
Right. It's funny because when you say, like, what happens at a listing appointment, this question will always come up. What do you think about open houses? This question will come up 9 out of 10 listing appointments. And I say, I personally think they're great. Over the years that I've been in real estate, I have sold many, many, many houses based on open houses, right? Having it open, having somebody who maybe doesn't even know that they want to move yet. They're not even sure, but they've always kind of liked that house. Now it's not pressure. It's not them calling some agent and committing to wanting to buy. They just mosey in. Oh gosh, next thing you know, do another open house. A couple weeks later, I see them again. Oh, you again. Yeah, I really like this house. There's something about it, right? And also, I feel like sometimes people are really busy. And if they can find an open house that works with their schedule at that moment, like I'll just use me for an example. I will schedule my hair appointment. Some people schedule their hair appointments like 3 weeks or a month in advance. I will call my gal, text my gal, and say, okay, I need to get in the next couple of days. What do you got? Because a month from now, I have zero idea what I'll be doing or if I'll be available. But I can tell you today or tomorrow or the next day when I can squeeze it in. So I think the same thing happens with a lot of busy professionals. They don't want to schedule a showing. They don't know if they're going to be at work late that day. They don't know if the kids are busy, if they'll be done with the tournament. You know, if they'll win the first game, they'll have to play a second game. But all of a sudden, they find themselves available and, oh, there's an open house. Let's go check it out. I think they're great. Then I'll hear this. Oh, well, the last person I interviewed said that open houses are a waste of time and they make absolutely no sense to do them. And this is always my comeback. Let me guess. The last person that came doesn't work on a team and is an individual agent who, if they're holding an open house, they're going to be responsible for it, or they're going to have to find somebody to volunteer to do it on their behalf. And I say, you don't have to tell me, but I'm not asking you as a question. I'm just saying that the reason there's a difference of opinion is because if it's just me and myself alone, and I have 12 listings, I can't promise all of those 12 listings that I'll do open houses for them. If it's just me, how can I do that? I mean, I'm one person, but if it's just me, I mean, if it's me as the team lead and I have 30 listings, I can literally promise them all that we'll do open houses for them, because not only do we have our 10 full-time agents, we have another dozen part-time agents that love to do open houses. So yes, we can promise if you want an open house, we will do an open house. And that feels really good.
I bet. Okay. We do have to take a break.
Okay.
We will be back. Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, Remax Results. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9. To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group, Remax Results, and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back. Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, Remax Results here at News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM. Robin, over the past few times we've talked with the market conditions, one of the things you've noted is that with it not being rushed, more and more buyers and sellers are having inspections done, sometimes even pre-inspections. That's got to be a good thing, right? A positive development to the current market conditions.
Yes. I you've heard me say many times, I do love it when there's a home inspection, whether it's a house that has been pre-inspected and that inspection report is made available for the buyers, or if the buyers decide to hire their own inspector. And let me tell you something. Let me clear up that even when a home is pre-inspected, that doesn't necessarily mean that the buyer is going to accept that pre-inspection and not do their own, okay? Because sometimes they think, well, geez, you know, they were hired by the seller. Are they working in the benefit of the seller? Are they trying to hide things that might be an issue? I do try to assure them, you know, reassure them that that's not the case. I mean, especially if I can see who the inspector is, and oh, that's a whole nother subject, okay? Who the inspector is such a big deal. So if I see a pre-inspection report by a reputable inspector that we know well and have done several transactions with, I say to them, what I would recommend is you read through this inspection report. And then if you have any questions or would like to understand something more clearly, I can arrange a phone call with that inspector or even arrange a meetup at the house to go over the inspection report that was already done. It will probably be quicker and less expensive for my buyer and not have to repeat the stuff. Now, there are sometimes there's inspection reports provided and it's an inspector that I've clearly never even heard of, like never even seen the name before. And then you wonder, well, geez, is this the seller's nephew? And did he come in from somewhere else to whip this together? You just don't know.
Sure.
You know, and it might not be the case, but inspectors in Minnesota are not ever held liable for something that they miss on an inspection report. And this makes buyers really nervous, but it's just the way it is. And truthfully, there are, I believe it is 12 states where they don't even have to have, inspectors don't even have to have any kind of licensing at all. So it's crazy. Like, why would you bother? At that point, I would just get somebody who I know who really understands houses and have them do the inspection, right? Unless it's an inspector that has a really good reputation, but no licensing, no regulations. So it's a little bit wild, wild west out there. Luckily, what I love about our real estate market is even though our population doesn't say small town, the way we do business definitely does say small town. As real estate agents, we all know each other. When we're doing deals with each other, we know how things are going to go. We know who we can rely on. We know who we're going to have to keep on their tail to make sure things get done. You know, I mean, we just learn because we do a lot of deals with each other. Same thing with the inspectors. And clearly, this is not a time or a place that I would mention any inspectors' names, but there are some that, oh my goodness, when I see an inspection contingency come through and I say, all right, we have no problem with this offer being contingent on an inspection. However, I need to know if it's a hands down has to be this inspector, because there's another offer as well that's also contingent on an inspection. And we would much rather work with the inspector that they have, because we know the difference between how the inspections go with the two inspectors. Now, somebody listening might think I'm saying, oh, we don't want somebody who uncovers the problems. Oh, no, no. We definitely want somebody who uncovers the problems. What we don't want is somebody who creates problems that don't exist. And unfortunately, we have a couple of inspectors in our market that do that. One that really does it. And again, I'm not throwing him under the bus right here and now, but I will say that when we see that particular inspector's name come across, that's a red flag for us. And sometimes we've even had to say, if you change inspectors, we'll accept your offer, but if not, we're going to have to pass.
Wow. And you're right.
Things like, oh my gosh, you know, this is terrible. This is asbestos. This is a very bad deal. And then we have the state of Minnesota come to inspect for asbestos. There's no asbestos here. Okay. So the guy that got certified with 30 hours of training knows more about the state of Minnesota. Or another time, this deck is not safe. Now, Andy, this was about a $30,000 deck that had been put on by a very reputable builder in town about a year prior to this inspection.
Okay.
And this inspector said, this deck is not safe. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, this deck is cantilevered out and you can't do that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. So I called planning and zoning and asked, you know, like, did they have a permit? And he said, yes, of course they had a permit. And I said, well, this is what the inspector is telling me. And he's like, well, the inspector doesn't know what he's talking about. There is a certain type of joist that you can use to do it properly. And they did. And we have pictures. It's all in our permit. And we're happy to share it. So I said, oh, this is great news. So I called that inspector back and he goes, I don't trust those city inspectors. I'm like, oh boy. Okay. So yeah. Anyway.
Oh, that's frustrating.
It's not an inspector is an inspector is an inspector, okay? Some are very, very good at what they do, and some probably should look for something else to do.
You know, and you're right. This is, as the city continues to grow and is becoming more of a larger city, it still is, for anybody who's been here any length of time, it's still a small town. Everybody knows everybody.
It
else.
Is, yes. I used to call it a small, big city, and now I'm calling it a big, small town. So, yeah. It's like we are just really connected and the word travels fast and you're not going to get away with too many shenanigans too many times because it's the word spreads, which is good. Really good for the consumer. Yes.
Absolutely. All right. So if you have questions about home inspections, you have questions about how listings go, things you should ask about, if you have a home you want to sell, if you want to buy, how do you get a hold of Robin Gualdi?
Absolutely. I'm happy to take your calls. Feel free to call me on my cell phone at 507-259-4926. Look forward to it.
All right. Enjoy the hot weekend, Robin.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Robin Gualdi, Gualdi Group Remax Results on News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9.